I do believe this tonight. I believe God's people, the greatest people on planet Earth. And I'm glad to be saved and a part of His people. I remember a day when I was lost and on my way to hell. And I didn't have the family of God, but thank God that I got saved when I was 20 and was birthed into a wonderful family. And not only do I have a heavenly Father, thank God that I can talk to, but thank God I've got a family. Amen. And what a blessing that is tonight. If I could, I would like to take you just for a moment to introduce my family real quick, get them to stand, my wife Mindy and my daughter Bella. But I appreciate them for sure, always traveling, being faithful to the Lord as well. But if you will, turn to Psalm 78. I want to give you a couple of verses here God's laid on my heart. And I'll share one more with you and tell you a little bit about what God's doing in the ministry. But Psalm 78, I was reading this and some time back, and God just hung these on my heart for this generation. I do believe this. I believe we are in the last days. I believe we're in the midnight hour, and some may say, well, I don't know about that. Well, I believe we can read the signs. I know we're not looking for something, but we're listening for something. I'm listening for the trump, but I believe it's going to sound very soon. Don't believe it's going to be long, and I say that to say this. I believe we ought to be busy doing what God has called us to do. Hey, there's nothing else in this world matters except for what God will have us to do for the kingdom that He has prepared for us. And what a blessing that is tonight. But Psalm 78, I want to begin reading in verse number 4. The Bible says, "We will not hide the young from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, His strength and His wonderful works that He has done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born. Who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandment." I believe in Psalm 78 we have a good illustration of sharing the gospel with the next generation. I believe that's what God's showing. I believe He commanded them to share it. Tell them what I have done for you. And I believe we in this generation, not only us as adults, should tell our children, but as a local New Testament church, I believe we have the responsibility to go out and to share the gospel with the next generation. Yes. He said that we would share the praises, that we would share His glory, that we would share the goodness of God. The Bible said it is the goodness of God that leadeth men to repentance. That we would tell them how good God is to them. You say, should we tell lost people how good He is? Absolutely. Hey, I'm telling you, it was that very thing in my life, that God would be good to me. Hey, that God would have mercy on me, knowing that I was a sinner destined for hell. I deserved hell, but yet He still wanted me to be saved. What a blessing that is. He said He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Yes. There is a responsibility laid upon myself and every born-again believer to share with the next generation. As a parent, I have a responsibility, especially as a father, to share with my children. But I believe this verse in verse number 7, He said that they might set their hope in God. That they might set their hope. Can I tell you this afternoon? We live in a hopeless generation. Hey, our young people have no hope outside of Jesus Christ. What do I mean by that this afternoon? I say this, suicide is the second leading cause of death among young people from ages 10 to 25. Why is it that our young people are putting a noose around their neck, taking pills, or putting a gun to their heads more than ever before? In my own family, and there's probably many here today that faced that in their family. In my own family, my nephew at 18 years old put a rope around his neck in his bedroom and hung himself. And my brother comes home and has to cut him down out of the ceiling. He left a note behind. Hey, he said, "The world is too much for me to handle, and I cannot handle these demons." What a tragedy that is. But I'm telling you, kids as young as 10 years old in our school systems, you say, how do we know? Because we don't ever hear it on the news. They don't put it out there like that we should know. Hey, but I'm telling you, in the schools that we go to and those that we're trying to get into on a regular basis, young people are taking their lives because they feel like they have no hope. And the reason is this afternoon. They're dealing with adult problems with a child mind. Hey, they're not designed to deal with the problems that they're facing today. Mom and dad is split up. Dad's in jail. Mom and dad's on drugs. After running the bus ministry in our church for 5.5 years, we found out one thing is there's nobody that's faithful to this generation. My wife and I tried our dead level best to always be on time, always be there for visitation, always be there to pick them up. And the reason is everybody in their life is unfaithful to them. They have no hope. They have nobody to help them. But thank God, God has given us an opportunity to go to where they're at. Amen. You say, well, what is your mission field? Well, God's called us specifically to the state of Georgia. We got 1.6 million students enrolled in public school in this state alone. Could you imagine having all of those kids in one place? Wouldn't that be wonderful to be able to preach the gospel to that many? But that's not the way it is. Right now, we've got 2,200 public schools that God has given us an open door. You say you can get into all of them? Well, that's our prayer. You say, are there any resistance? Well, there is some. There's always some in the work of God. Okay. Hey, but I tell you this, when we pray and ask God to open a door, He'll open a door that no man can shut.
Amen.
And we have seen God do that time after time. We, myself and my wife, are actively working in two schools, and we have one that is fishing to open up, and we just talked with some schools down in middle Georgia. Lord willing, we'll be open up in September, or in November soon. So pray for those schools. But God has given us a great harvest already. The ministry has been in the public schools for quite some time. 21 years. They've started the ministry 25 years ago. 21 years in the ministry in public schools. There is some longevity to this thing. One of the schools my wife and I teach in, we've been there for 15 years. Or myself, my wife haven't, but the ministry has been there for 15 years. Teaching in the same public school from pre-K all the way to 12th grade. That means they've been able to encourage and to help kids from one generation to the next. Why did I say that? Because those that have went through the school have graduated. Now they've got kids in school that we are teaching. What a blessing that is. We've got kids that have been called to preach in the public school. You say, are there any fruit? Absolutely. Just last week, well, just this week, this past Tuesday, we were in one of our schools. We got to see two young people come forward and ask God to save them in a public school. Can God save kids in a public school? Absolutely.
Amen.
So let me tell you how it's done. The way God has opened up and developed the program, it's called Character Under Construction. It's kind of ironic, why character? And a lot of people say, why would you go into school and teach character? Well, I believe this. Number one, it's because it's the door that God opened. That's the way God did it. Number two, I believe Christianity and character go hand in hand. One of the verses God give us and hung on our hearts for the ministry, what God used to call us into the public school, it's on our prayer card, Hosea 4:6. He said, for my people destroyed for a lack of knowledge. They have no knowledge of God. And if you go back and read chapter number 4, it talks about their character. God said in verse number 1, He said, I have a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. He said, I got a problem with you. And He said, it's your character. He said, it's the fact that you lie and steal and kill. And He said, blood reaches out and touches blood. He said, there's lawlessness and there's sin on every hand. Can I ask you today, have you ever seen a society where there's sin on every hand? Hey, if that's not today, I don't know what is. We live in a generation where there is sin on every hand, and our young people are full of it. You say, what do I mean by that? I'll say this. In our day, and in my day, I'm 40 years old now, and especially in the gray-haired saints that are in here today, we faced a lot of the same problems. But we didn't have it at our fingertips. You know what our young people face today? Everything is at their fingertips on a cell phone. Everything is in their face. Whether it be social media, whether it be pornography, whether it be any of those illicit things, it's always available to them. They face those things on a regular. I'm saying today, we live in the most the rapid changing generation of all times. This is the fastest growing generation right now. And God has given us that opportunity to teach character. How do we do it? We go into the public schools. We teach our program on a PowerPoint presentation. And I'll show you just a few minutes. I'll give you a demo, quick demo of how that works in the public school. But we teach on a PowerPoint presentation in the public school. You say, well, is this an after-school program? No, but it can be. It's very flexible. But what we normally do is we go in to the classroom. We take up the classroom time, the teaching time. So we go into maybe a ninth grade health class. And we go in every 2 weeks, sit down in that class with those young people and teach these lessons. These lessons take about 45 minutes, and during those lessons, such as Abraham Lincoln, or we teach on shame and regret, and I'll show you that slide here in a minute on regrets and shame. It deals with Jacob and Esau's life. We are able to teach those lessons in the classroom. How does that help the young people? Because we deal with the subjects that they're facing every single day in their life. Hey, shame and regret is in every young people's lives. If I asked you to lift your hand as an adult, have you ever had regrets? And we would all say yes. I'm telling you, we get to deal with those hardships, those hard areas of their life where they say, you know what? My dad's no longer at home. We had a young man that was brokenhearted, and he couldn't understand how to forgive. At 12 years old, he couldn't understand how to forgive. Hey, that his dad left him and his family and was never coming back. You know what we was able to do with that young man? We was able to take the Word of God and show him, hey, that God would help the fatherless. Amen. Hey, when nobody else would be there, that God would be there for him. We're able to help these kids on the level that they're at in the classroom. That opens up a door for us to build a relationship. We run these programs from the beginning of school year to the end of school year, every 2 weeks in the classroom. Thank God for an open door.
Yes.
You say, can we carry a Bible? I carry a Bible in school every other week. I'm in school with a Bible in my hand. Can we pray? Absolutely. Our young people will lift their voices and pray in a public school. Hey, because God has given us that opportunity. I'll say this, but we also have another program. It's called the Yes Club. It's Youth Empowerment Services. This is a voluntary program. So I say it like this, our Yes Club being voluntary, those that want to come, but our character club or our character teaching is non-voluntary. That means everybody has to be there. The kids can't raise their hand and say, can I be excused from this class? Why is that? Because we teach on a neutral level. It's not a Bible class in school. Do we talk about the Bible? Absolutely, when the kids bring it up. Are our lessons based on the Bible? Absolutely. Our lessons even have Scripture in them, and when it's appropriate, we show those Scriptures. But in that voluntary setting, that's where we get to preach the gospel. One of our schools, we run about 140 kids in our Yes Clubs, and we're able to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified, just as we would do in here today. Why? Because those kids have chosen to worship God and come aside in a public school, and they have that right. They can do that. We have more rights in a public school than sometimes that people would like to allow us to know because of fear of a lawsuit or fear of some kind of repercussions. God's given us that opportunity. We've seen in past years, in 2018, we've seen over 4,000 students saved in the public school ministry alone. Over 4,000 kids come to Christ. Last year in one of our schools in the last month, we prayed all year, and this is a school we've been in a long time, so you don't see a lot of fruit after you've been there for years and years. But the last month, we prayed all year, God save some this year, and we've seen four young people, the last time we went, come to Christ, four teenagers. You think it's hard for a teenager to come forward in a gymnasium full of kids and ask God to save them. That's a big deal. And they're surrendering their lives to Christ to serve Him. So I want to take just a minute here they get the first video loaded up there. I want to show you just a little bit sample of what we do. But as they're doing that this afternoon, we are probably at about 74-75% of our support. We're asking God to continue to send that in. But the biggest thing we do in our ministry is this. We come to a local church like this. We share our burden in hopes that we can encourage you to go to your local schools. We want to help you. We train the local church. That's what we do. You remember earlier I said there's 2,200 schools. My wife and I, we can't be in all of them. We're the only missionaries for the state of Georgia. That's it. So we've got to have the local church to be able to train you, send you into your schools, and then turn the ministry over to the church. So I'll give you just a little bit of sample here of what we got. In the character under construction in every class, we see this slide. It'll come up on the screen, Rock of Ages. We never hide who we are. We always let them know who we are. We're not coming in under some kind of false pretense. But they know that we are a religious organization, but we are teaching in a neutral fashion, and they understand that. But we teach the character under construction. It's character you can live with, teaching good character and morals and ethics today, for you, for tomorrow's leaders. That's what we want to do. And there's a lesson, this one we teach. I recently taught it, shame and regret, dealing with Jacob and Esau's life. We come in the classroom, we ask the kids, have you ever had any regrets? Have you ever had any shame? And immediately the kids begin to open up and tell us about the things in their own life. How we get to deal with those subjects. This lesson teaches about, it says here, there was twin boys born. As they grew older, they found that they were total opposites. There was a division in the home. We can stop. And all of these things are talking points. And if you look here, these are blanks on our screen where it's highlighted there. We have a handout that we hand the kids. They fill these out as we go. This is a class grade for them that day. Most teachers give them a class grade because we are taking up the classroom time. So we stop and use these talking points to deal with subjects in their life. Just as this first line says, there was a division in the home. How many kids have a division in their home? How many of us have had divisions in our home? Hey, whether it be some kind of addiction, whether it be or anything else, family trouble, brothers and sisters don't always get along. Even husbands and wives don't always get along. So there's always a division. We can deal with those divisions. The dad loved one while the mother loved the other. It was constant fighting among the brothers. The problem started when the parents chose favorites. In this situation, children will play one parent against the other in order to gain the love or attention of the parents. They were living together in one house, but it was not a home. And I always like to stop and take this moment to ask the kids, what's the difference in a house and a home? What should constitute a home? Give me a list of things that you say that a home should be. Most of the kids will tell me, number one, it should be love. You should feel loved. I said, what else should you have? Well, you should feel safe in your home. Do you know kids today do not feel safe in their own home? They don't feel loved in their own home. But you know what? I had one kid say, you know what? I think God should be number one in my house. Do you know what that does in a public school classroom? I said, explain that to me. And I just take an opportunity at that point and say, hey, explain what you mean by God should be the center of the home. And that young person that probably goes to church somewhere just gives the plan of salvation. I will make 25 other students in a classroom. And it's legal. What a lesson. The Bible says, out of the mouth of babes. I'm telling you, God can take something that we seem so simple and use it for His glory. Have we ever had somebody saved as we was teaching them? We've had to shut the class down, tell the teacher, we're done teaching today. We'll meet the kids in the hallway. And we lead them to the Lord in the hallway. That's a safe zone, by the way. That's where you can do it. You can't really do it in the classroom. But these lessons are imported in their lives. Hey, we deal with that home situation. It said this situation greatly affected the boy's character. When we go to the end of the lesson. This lesson's about 25 slides. It takes every bit of 45 minutes and can be taught longer if need be. We go to the class discussion. Why do some people try to blame other people for what they themselves choose to do wrong? Why do some people lie? Is a little white lie as bad as a bold outright lie? Some call them black or sinful lies. The young people need this in their life. They don't have this at home. You say, well, man, this seems so elementary and surely everybody's getting taught this at home. That's not the way it is. I understand we live in the Bible Belt of America. We live in the Bible Belt, but we have very, very, very few that know Jesus Christ. What do I mean by that? 5.5 years of bus ministry, we still picked up kids, run 65 to 100 on our buses. My wife and I still picked up kids that never heard the name of Jesus Christ in Rossville, Georgia, right outside of Chattanooga, Tennessee. You say, that's a Bible Belt. It is. Hey, but we live in a different generation than we did 40 years ago. We've got more people than we did then. You will hit that other slide up real quick. And I'll show you this. This is our fifth grade up through high school lesson, and I'll show you one more real quickly, and I'll be done this afternoon. But this is one for our second and third graders called Abel Andy. And one of the things we do, the missionaries write these, develop these, do the graphics as well. It's something we do throughout the summers. It's says, one day in mid-September, a student entered a second grade class of Abernathy Primary School. He looked different. So we're going to deal in this situation with young people making fun of their classmates because they're different. We get to deal with these situations in their life. How the other boys and girls had new backpacks that they carried their lunches, Chromebooks, and pencils. The boys and girls began snickering, pointing, and making fun. No one invited Andy to play the games. He had to stand by himself. He felt like an outcast. And there's a lot of our young people today, they don't feel like anybody loves them, anybody cares for them. And we get to go in there and we get to love on them. And we get to care about them. And we get to tell them ultimately that Jesus loves them. No matter their skin color, no matter how dirty their hair is, no matter what kind of clothes they have on, we get to tell them that Jesus loves them. We have scripture in our slides. This is one. I didn't show any of the other ones. This says the wisdom from the Bible is the golden rule. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would do that men should do to you, do ye even to them. We come down to the end of the lesson. We have lessons learned, especially in our younger kids. We always want to follow up with lessons that are learned. Never make fun of someone's clothes. Never stare at people. Be friendly. Learn to be a responsible person. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to help these young people build character in their life. And in doing that, God has opened a great door for us to share the gospel. There's a great opportunity here. There's a great need here. 1.6 million kids today. That's a great need. So y'all pray for us. Pray about the ministry. Pray about being a part of it this afternoon. Thank you, brother.